Welcome to Freelance Feels, a podcast all about self-employed life. And I'm so excited to introduce my first guest of the season, Samantha Lowry. Welcome, author of The Power of Mess. You've got your new book coming out. So we're going to talk all about mess in the freelance space and life. So Samantha, welcome. Would you like to tell everyone exactly what it is that you do?
Yeah, well, thank you, Jenny, for having me on. I'm really excited to be here with you this morning. Okay, so what do I do? It's a really good question, actually. I basically do a lot of writing, and I run workshops throughout the year to help women in particular find their way back to themselves, to a sense of self that makes them feel like they are back on the path of building an authentic life and being kind to themselves as they do that. Yeah. I also create books. I make stationery. I love creating my annual calendar and diary. I've been doing that for about 7 years now. I run social media platforms, and I inject positive wisdom into the online world every day, basically. That's probably the best summary of what I do. And then I should probably mention as well that I've just written a book.
Also an author, just on the side, you know.
As a new hat that I wear. Because I've been writing books and making books for so long, but I've been self-publishing. So this is the first book that I've gone down the traditional publishing route. Mm-hmm. So different. And it's opened up this craft of mine that I've got really quite comfortable in. So I've been almost learning again what I've been doing for the past 10 years. So I feel like I've kind of got on my beginner's mind right now. And I'm just picking up all the different details and the different scenery and getting myself acquainted with this new aspect of this world that I used to call home, but now it feels a bit bigger than that.
And in terms of the book, so it's called The Power of Mess. And when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, is this all about like not tidying up? And obviously then when I began to read the book, I realised that it's not about not tidying up. It's more about the mess, the wider mess, the things that life throws at us. And that was of particular interest to me as a freelancer, because obviously it feels like I professionally, I kind of live surrounded by not physical mess necessarily, but yeah, the things that life throws at us as freelancers. I wondered how you came to be self-employed. Did you have sort of a job before that you phased into doing what you do with the online sort of positivity, or was it something that you chose to do as a job? And did mess have an element of driving you towards doing what you do with the positivity? I know that's three questions at once.
Yeah, I'll try to answer them all if I can remember them. But yeah, no, that's great questions, Jenny. I've been self-employed for as long as I can remember. I was just thinking about this, and when I heard back from my PR lady that you were interested in having me on, I've just found it like such an interesting angle to bring to the message that I'm actually trying to kind of send out into the world. A lot of my learning, a lot of my personal development has come through this framework of freelancing and being self-employed. I think I would say that I was self-employed probably from my mid-20s. So I was on like a monthly payroll for about 4 years. But I look back on those years, and although I really did develop a lot of skills, and I had a great experience, I started off in teaching.
Was that school teaching?
I was in a college, and I did supply teaching for a couple of years before that. So I was in all different parts of the education sector. And I wasn't happy. I wasn't living the 9-to-5 lifestyle, although it did give me the stability that I've never actually been able to reach, you know? I wasn't happy, and I was really working very hard, and I didn't feel like I was in control of my life. So I was really interested in pursuing some kind of career in dance at the time, and my husband was also a dance teacher. So we decided to break away from what I was doing and go into teaching dance together. And that was I mean, that was the beginning of me taking my life into my own hands and going into the freelance world. And it's been a long journey from then till now. And I've just come from having an interview on BBC Radio London yesterday. And it was just really quite surreal because I was with my husband and he knows all the thousands of steps that it's taken
Yes.
point. But even though it's been so up and down and it's been so messy, I mean, the journey has been so messy, it's been just so meaningful as well. And everything feels mine now, and there are pros and cons to what we do, and to kind of and to leaving the stability of a 9-to-5 job. But the gains in terms of personal development and feeling like your life is your own and belonging to this path that you're walking, I mean that experience is second to none. And I don't think I personally could have found that staying in the job that I had way back when in my 20s. It's so long ago
Do you
now.
mind me
So
asking how old you are? You don't have to say if you don't want to, but to put it into context for people that are listening, sort
yeah,
of.
I'm 42 and I started freelancing at around, I'd say it was about 25. Yeah, nearly 20 years now.
Brilliant.
So yeah, and then so it's been really, really messy. And actually, I was thinking about our conversation. I was thinking so much of what I've learned, so much of what is in the book is because I have taken this route to make something of my life, but on my own terms. And actually, what freelancing has taught me is to meet the mess, is to step forward, is to just keep on going, to keep on trying, to keep on waking up and meeting whatever the day has for you. So yeah, I've got a lot to thank actually to this freelancing framework. And then your third question about the mess and what the book is about. It's actually not a, yes, so it's not about tidiness so much that. Like I said to you before, as we started our talk together today, I mean, my house is pretty messy, right? But priorities come first. Talking to you, Jenny, was my number one thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I can stop anyone from having to tidy up, then I feel like my work here is done. So.
You very much. I actually just sat with a coffee, and just got my thoughts in order to meet with you. So that's brilliant.
Brilliant.
But we're looking at in the book, I'm looking at the stuff in life that we don't readily have answers for. It's the events that throw us, and they shake us up and we feel ill-equipped and we feel inadequate. And our inner critic has a field day when we face these moments. I'm looking more at the emotional aspects of messiness. The messy parts of life, the crooked roads that we have to walk down, the crooked roads that we come from as well. And all those curveballs that get thrown our way that we don't see coming, and what to do with them and how to actually make them work for us. Because I do think there is a way there, and I've learned them over the years through so much trial and error, like so many errors,
Oh yes, oh very much so. It's almost like part and parcel of freelance life, and I think we feel like often when I say freelance feels, I feel like I'm only ever one step away from freelance fails. And perhaps there's a reason that that always jumps in my head, because we focus on, I guess, like with the mess, we focus on what gone right, rather than sitting down and saying, actually, yes, that might be messy or that might be chaotic, but those things have gone quite well. And that person said they were pleased with that work. Or I guess for you, for example, you have your Instagram account, the one that you set up originally, which was Butterflies and Pebbles. And that's just been a real honest journey of you sharing things and showing up. And that's sort of been where you've built this amazing community by embracing just being you and going with the flow of whatever you wanted to share that day. Would you say that feels true for you?
So true, Jenny. Yeah, and thank you for noticing that as well. I mean, I was talking to Jo Good yesterday on the radio station, and she actually asked me as well, like how it all begun. And I wasn't really ready for the question because I was so ready to talk about the book. It was illuminating even for me because that's exactly how I started doing this. I was writing at the, I, it was about 10 years ago when I got on social media, so I've been around for quite a while to watch its evolution. In some ways, it's devolution as well.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any algorithms really when I started, you know, so we didn't, I didn't have problems of reaching whatever audience I had at the time, which was really, I mean, it was a wonderful privilege, to be honest. And but I begun writing, I started kind of sharing my what I call my social observations, but I suppose now I'm talking to Joe, they weren't so much social, they were more kind of my internal stuff. And I was really personal from the very beginning, really vulnerable, and I opened up my story and I opened up what I was struggling with. And I think, you know, as freelancers, we are, like you said, we are so aware of the things that we're struggling with, because it's us, you know, we're in there wearing all the hats, doing all the little things, trying to be all the people that we need. So we're really kind of acutely aware of the things that are difficult and that we have to attack at some point as well. So I would open that stuff up. And at the time, it's very different now. I think social media has got a lot more personal now. But 10 years ago, it wasn't so much that. It was more kind of just memes about, you know, general wisdom and funny stuff.
Yeah.
And I started blogging. I started writing. And I would share things about how to, you know, just the struggles I was having with myself, with mothering and working, you know, trying to find the balance. That was always, and that has always been a difficult one for me. And I think that's what people really liked, you know, and my space just grew really quickly, because sharing was very easy to do. And bigger pages found my work. I think they loved the personal vibe. And I really kind of highlighted and focused on how to own your story, and how to use your story to propel you forward. And really, you know, I suppose another way of explaining that is how to get into who you are and to trust that is enough. So it really did take off, and I got, you know, my readership grew. I call them readers rather than followers.
Oh, that's nice, because a lot of what you show your poetry, so actually a lot of your posts are something to pause and read rather than just a kind of a random, like you say, a random photo or that kind of thing, or a dancey reel or whatever. It is actually something to, I really like that.
And I've just, you know, over the years, I've kind of got more, I've shared a few more photos here and there, but it's not so much. I've just started getting into videos again, because I'm old school, you know, we didn't do this 10 years ago. Yeah. So it's thing with like TikTok and what's the other one? Snapchat, I think. My child allowed me to do TikTok. Like, mummy, you're too old. Like, give us space, let us have a space on the internet that you don't, you know about, connect with.
Hold on a minute, I'm one of the original,
you know, I'm one of the OG
creators here. I could tell you lot all about Instagram, kids.
And you know, another thing that's different now to what was then is I started using kind of intimate speech. So because I've always been like that, you know, it's quite a London thing as well. So, you know, people think it's just me and my writing, but actually, you know, when you're walking down the road and you talk to somebody, I mean, you don't really talk to people, like, you don't talk to strangers here in London too much. So, but you know, if you go into a coffee shop or whatever, someone says, "How are you doing, darling? What would you like?" And that's how we talk, you know, whether you're male or female. And so I've always been like that, you know. So I started using words like darling in my work. And people loved that. I mean, some people really hated it as well. And a few like Australian readers say, please, please just write everything else, but without the word darling. It's so cheesy.
Oh, but it sounds like your kind of word. It feels like it comes, it's sort of part of how you'd speak. It doesn't seem put on to you. Yeah, it feels like it's your sort of word. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, when I was writing, when I started like 10 years ago, I wrote for me. That was the first thing. It was to really kind of get stuff out, you know, to really just purge and express and just see if people resonated. And it was a real big part of my own kind of self-therapy. You know, I'm a big fan of journaling. So I would just share the stuff that I was journaling with. And also I would write for my girls, and they're my darlings, you know, so I was writing for them, and maybe in the future when one day they come across one of my blogs or a poem or whatever, and I was really trying to mend my relationship with myself because I was really quite hard. I had a really strong inner critic at the time. So these were all things I was doing for myself, and I just kind of like, yeah, I put them into my work, and it was, yeah, it made it stand out as well. Not so much now, you know, it's different now. Everyone really is quite intimate in the way they speak and the person when they open up their lives. And there's a big emphasis on owning your story, on you being enough. And I love that. I love that about where social media has gone, but it wasn't so much like that 10 years ago. So yeah.
It's funny as well, because I imagine a lot of people see your amount of followers and think, oh, I want to have millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. This has been built up over a decade. It sounds like it was never about building readers or followers so much as posting it, and sharing. If we come back to the idea of the mess, it was sort of your solution to the mess was to explore writing on that platform.
That's exactly what it was. That was how I was dealing with the mess of my life. It was just to write it out and to share and just to make sense of it through the words in front of me, either on my phone or in my diary. Yeah, it wasn't about the numbers at all. And that's one thing I've really hated about algorithm. You know, it makes you really kind of number focused. Mm-hmm. And how many people this and how many likes did I get? And I've had to manage my relationship with social media over the years to keep it meaningful for me, because I don't want it to be about the stats, you know. But even now, you know, even with the book, it's really quite a fascinating thing. I mean, I've sold, you know, I've been in the hundreds with my book. So I sell maybe just under 1,000 diaries a year. Around Christmas time, and that's kind of like my big work. That's what I kind of push towards. That's my busy time. And now with this book, I don't know where I go with it, but I've got a shop on Etsy. I call it Butterflies and Pebbles, because and pebbles would make it too long. and I've always seen all the kind of, I've seen the orders come in, so I've always been able to touch base with what's happening, to tweak things here and there, you know, where I need to sell, where I need to market. But with this book, I'm completely blind, because it's in the publisher's hands. You know, I'm not in the driver's seat. And but every now and again, I'll get an email saying, oh, well, the pre-orders are at this number and the pre-orders are at that number. And I'm like, oh my goodness me, even numbers and stats are here waiting for me in this, you know, in this kind of new element of my career. Yeah, so it's this dimension that I have to keep on taking a step back from to make peace with, so that this work stays meaningful. Because when you do things for the numbers, it just becomes so frustrating, you know. And you've got to keep a sense of self in the work that you do on social media. You've got to get something back from it. And when you get lost in the numbers, you stop getting something back from what you're doing. And so I have to pull away every now and again when I get caught up in that web.
Yeah. Wow. That's really spoken to me. I'm sure people who are listening will be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, don't get lost in the numbers. Because do you feel like that is, if we talk about the mess of self-employment and freelancing, that feels like probably one of the big five, if there's a big five of mess when it comes to being self-employed, social media, the numbers feels like it's going to be up there. What else would you say is sort of part of the mess, in your terms of mess, for the power of mess, that surround us as freelancers and self-employed people?
I share about my financial instability over the years. I share about how it was really hard to not make that feeling of failure, of not reaching the numbers that I needed at the end of the month, personal. And actually it became this kind of like moment, this kind of 5-day experience of personal attack on myself, where I would just feel so rubbish, you know, so low, so like I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And it was such a bizarre framework to live from, because for 25 days of the month, I would feel really empowered, like I was moving forward, I was making my dreams happen. You know, I would look at all the little successes along the way, I would take the little moments of error and mistake and learn from them. But everything felt really generally quite empowering, because my life was in my hands. But then when, like, you know, when the payments wouldn't come in, and so I have to pay those bills, and it just really, really messy, I would turn that on myself, and I would shame myself, and I would, you know, just be really angry with the choices that I had made up until, that point.
Yeah, like
And
self-judgment is huge, isn't it? We're just, I feel like I live in a quagmire of self-judgment as a freelancer.
sure. And I think you've mentioned this as well, like being your first point of support is such an important thing to do in the freelance mindset. You've really got to get on your side. And I could see in the way I was throughout the month that it was those 5 days that I really needed to reframe and approach a new way. And we learn we're good at that, I think, as freelancers, trying to find different ways to approach the same problem, because that's how we survive. And that's also how we've learned to thrive as well in those moments of opportunity that come our way. So I took those 5 days and I changed. It was literally like pulling, trying to kind of pull a bull by its horns and turn its direction. Run into a fence, it was so hard, but I had to really meet my weakness, my flaw, that was showing up in those 5 days, because it was really quite detrimental to my mental health. It was so high, I'd feel so high, and then I would hit so like low, like rock bottom, and it was so extreme. It just wasn't good for myself. So I really learnt, it took a good like 6 months to really turn it around for myself, but I had to change the way I spoke to myself. And also I had to pick out details that I hadn't focused enough on at the time to really build the picture of what was really going on in my life, in my finances, in me pursuing my dreams, and in the bravery I was showing every day to keep on keeping on, even when I couldn't match my outgoings with what was coming in. And so giving myself a kind of a wide narrative, and remembering that lots of people struggle, whether they're freelance or not freelance,
Yeah, that's a really good point because actually we talk a lot about freelancing, but I guess there's some people who do a bit of both as well. Like they might be in a full-time job but trying to build a business that they eventually want to launch. You mentioned Etsy, lots of people have Etsy shops as well as working in a job. And yeah, it's not exclusively you're all self-employed. Sometimes there's a bit of both for people, isn't there? Or there's a dream.
Absolutely, there is a dream, and you're basically picking your poison. It's all difficult,
You're picking your poison. I love that. Oh, that's
whether you do five, whether you do the freelance and you pick your own hours, there are still shortcomings with each opportunity, and I call them opportunities rather than obstacles or whatever. And it's just working out what is meaningful for you. And making the conscious decision, learning how to make your choices work for you, and learning how to make your choices validate your experience and your existence as well. And that for me, living authentically. So, and it will mean that you have highs and you have lows. There's going to be they'll be there whatever choice you make. But making peace with the process of getting to eyes into those lows and making sure that it's true to you, that's what gets you through the lows, and so I would have to go back to why I was doing what I was doing, how far I had come from maybe 3 or 4 years before or 10 years before, and I'd have to kind of open up the canvas rather than isolate this one issue, this one problem of mine, which was not being able to meet my bills, and put it into the big canvas of what it was that I was trying to create for myself. And then once I put it into the picture, it didn't consume my view so much. It was part of my experience rather than everything I defined myself by in those 5 days at the end of the month. So yeah, it was really kind of deep personal internal learning as well. But I really learned to get on my own side, and again, to keep things meaningful. It's just so important. And to keep remembering yourself and the work that you do. I think also because we have so much to think about and we have so many hats to wear, we can really forget what makes us happy about what we do. And we can sometimes actually not focus on that, not do it because we've got so much other stuff to do. And so again, when I'm struggling with my work, when I feel like when I get that feeling of being down and it's recurring, I know that I've got to get back to what makes this joyous for me. What makes this joyful? What do I like about what I do? And focus in on that so that I can feed myself emotionally through what I'm doing, rather than just offering a service. And that, so it's got to serve you too. It's got to serve you on different levels and different aspects of your, sorry, in and in different aspects of your life as well, for, you know, to keep it meaningful and to keep it real and to keep you going.
Wow. Oh, I think so many people are going to be like, oh my goodness, it's because it's so easy to forget when we're pitching for work and putting ourselves out there and saying, I do this or that or the other, to think, well, does that client want me? Oh, I'd love it if they said they wanted to work with me, because then it would tick the box of, oh, I'd have something regular, I'd have some money, I'd have some focus. And I think you're right, we forget to say, is it right for me? And I know for some people there isn't that element of choice, because obviously some people, and we've all been there where we've said, yes, I'll do this piece of work because I need to pay the bills and it's not my favourite piece of work, but there we go.
And we all do that, and I do that as well. And so my thing is, as long if you do that, as long as you give yourself something nice to do after at some point down, you know, down in the near future, then it's okay. Because again, it's what I call, I've got a chapter in the book called The Art of Balance. If we kind of find ourselves stepping over into things we don't want to do because we need to pay the bills, that's totally fine. It's practical. Everybody has to do it. But then when we do that, to balance everything out, just give yourself a moment or two in the near future where you can do something creatively that feels good for you, just for you, even if it's something that you do in your own time, you know, but you're just watering yourself, you're watering your soil just for you. Because I can easily get lost in my work when I approach it as a service to people. And so what I do and what I kind of check in with is that it's a service to people, but it's also my self-expression. And I've got to water two things in order to keep the balance with what I do, and to be able actually to offer the best service as well. If I don't feel happy, if I don't feel like I'm looking after myself, everyone's going to suffer, you know, because it's ratio, you know, butterfly pebbles is not so hopeful anymore, you know. So it's part and parcel of what I do, but you know, I'm like, I call myself a recovering self-forgetter, you know. I was such a people pleaser in my past, so I've got to really check in and not get lost in what I can do for others, and pull back every now and again and just make sure that what I'm doing is meaningful for me. So actually with Butterflies and Pebbles, this book has been great, you know, because I feel like it's opening up my world. And I've, what's been fun about this is like being able to talk to you, Jenny. I mean, I just work normally on my own. I mean, sharing my own thoughts, you know, processing my own feelings and creating my own art and my own poetry. So it's all me, you know, and I work from my living room table. I've run all my workshops and my courses, and I do all my books. It's all from there. And so it's opened up the world for me, you know, or it's opened up my world. And, you know, just, you know, going into London town just to do the audio reading for the book, that was incredible for me, because I've just been in this kind of cave, you know, the cave in West London, you know, creating all this little magic. So that's been great. And also, you know, I've missed doing creative writing. That's where I started my journey, writing stories. I did a few novels, I wrote scripts, and then I got into Butterflies and Pebbles, and I've been doing that for 10 years. So what I started doing a couple of years ago was, when I started feeling dry and I started to kind of like lose the love for what I was doing for a while, I knew I had to kind of find what made me happy now. And actually going creative writing just gave me that inspiration I was looking for. So again, I balance it out, and then I make sure to do a bit of creative writing here and there as well. So yeah, so you've got to kind of, you do what you do to pay the bills, but just make sure that you do something to remind yourself that you are also a being, you are also exploring yourself while you're here on this planet, and you are here to express that too, just for that, you know, not for what it gives somebody else, not even for what it gives back to you, just the very process of expressing and exploring yourself is actually so fulfilling in itself anyway. So yeah, just, you know, we just have to remind ourselves, don't we, Jenny, you know? Because
absolutely. Oh goodness. And you talk in the book about, well, at the end of every chapter there's a write it out task. Some of them have a few elements to them, and some of them are sort of longer tasks, I guess, and it is that idea of kind of the processing, coming back to the idea of your journaling and your workshops, and I wondered if you feel like this is, you know, sort of, would you sort of say to everyone who's freelance or self-employed, just put it down on paper more, because we get so in our own heads. It is a genuine tool for expelling a lot of the feelings, isn't it? And making sense of the freelance mess is, I mean, I write anyway, so I write a lot for my job, but would you say that's something people can connect with in order to kind of help with the mess if they're feeling it as a freelancer?
I mean, absolutely. I think journaling is the therapy you give yourself when you can't afford therapy. You know,
Yeah, which is most of us, yeah.
it's my story of my life. You know, I couldn't afford to sit with a counselor most of my life. So I would just go to my journal and I would just write everything out. What journaling does, and I just think it's so powerful, is so we have all these feelings inside of us and they are abstract, you know, and they're like energy and they're boundless because we can't lock them down, we can't touch them, you know. So they just consume and they overwhelm. But once you start articulating them, either through spoken word or the written word, you basically pin them down. You get them out in front of you. So no longer are they just ruling inside of you, but they are now in front of you, and you have got them pinned down, and you've got them confined to a space, which is your notepad or your phone, you know, wherever you write. And then you can see them. You can see those words. You can see the feelings in those words. You can see what you're experiencing in those words, actually from a more objective point of view. So rather than feeling under all these things that you're processing and feeling and going through, you're now on top of it almost, looking down on it and reading it and understanding what it is from a different angle. That in itself is so empowering, that distinction to make. And so these wild feelings, and I mean, we go through so many highs and lows, don't we? Because again, we're doing so much. There's only so much time in the day. We have so many hats to wear. You know, we need to be everything. We want to be appreciated and acknowledged. We want that job. You know, we want that pitch. We want that to be successful. There's so many things going on. So getting it out in front of you gives you a bit of space between you and it. And in that space, you get to breathe. You get to pause, you get to reflect, you get to work out what thoughts and feelings you want to keep running with, and what thoughts and feelings you need a little bit more space from. And then when you make that space from them, there is then this new space for the good stuff to get in, you know, and then you can start putting the encouraging stuff in. You can start, you know, doing your affirmations, or, you know, making some positive plans, or do your goal setting, you know, or re reminding yourself of your dreams and why it is that you're doing the thing that you're doing. But yeah, I think journaling is so, it's informative, you know, on a personal level. It's purging, freeing, it's healing. And actually, when you look back on the stuff that you write, you realize that you know a lot more than you give yourself credit for as well.
That's so true. Oh my goodness. Yeah. People are like, hold on a minute. I'm actually quite good at this. It's like a renewed sense of purpose as a freelancer, I think, sometimes when you've got some of that out of your system.
Yeah, you get to see yourself outside of all the criticism that's going on inside of you. You know, that kind of goes quiet now because you've got this different position with all the things that you feel, with all the thoughts that you're having. And I always think, I mean, I don't really know what I call myself a facilitator. I definitely don't call myself a healer because I really think that the healing and the wisdom is all inside us. But what I do is I try and facilitate spaces on my courses, in my workshops, and in my words and my poetry so that you can connect with your deepest truths, your deepest wisdom, your deepest goals and dreams, what you really want for yourself. It's all there. It's just sometimes we have to get beyond the rubble that's on top of it. And actually, journaling and writing things down is a process of doing that. It's a process of cleansing, getting through the rubble so that you can get to the good stuff. And you learn so much about yourself even as you are processing the rubble as well. So yeah, I'm you know, I mean, my whole work is all about journaling, but it's been such a lifesaver for me so many times. And actually, it's built my business, you know, without me even really actually intending it to, but it's been the cornerstone of everything that I do. So yeah, Go for journaling. Everybody, try it. You will be surprised. Even my husband, he's not a journaler. He'll kill me for sharing this. But he's.
Oh, I'm sure he won't. Well, if he does, I'll leave it
It's so great because he started journaling and he actually finds it so educational and so helpful. And yeah, it's just such a cleanse for him as well, just to get his thoughts out there. And he'll kind of text me some of the things that he's just written, and he'll be surprised at himself as well, you know, like, oh my goodness, that's pretty good, you know, read this. So yeah, it's a territory of magic. It really is. And you really get to know your potential, I think, when you start to journal. You really get to see what actually you can create, because yeah, I don't know, it's just something about the art form. I can't really put my finger on it, but it works. It really does work.
try it and see things. So someone's new to it, if they've never done it before, someone's listening and thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. I'm up for journaling. What should they, obviously they can buy one of your journals, I think. So that would be a good start, wouldn't it? You sell
Right.
journals, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But how would someone begin? Do they literally sit down with a piece of paper and see what comes to them? What would
Yeah.
journaling be to them if they weren't familiar with it?
Okay, so what you do, I think the first thing, what I say in my book, it's the first thing to know is that it might take a while for you to get the hang of it. Okay. It's like talking out your feelings. We're not necessarily natural at it once we start, you know, like sometimes it's hard to get the words together to really express what it is you want to express. But through practice, it's like a skill. You just get better. You just get better at picking out what really expresses what it is you're going through right now in a way that feels like you're in charge of what you're saying as well. Because you know, I've had so many conversations where I'll just spill out things. I'm like, no, I didn't want to say it like that, you know? But you've got to go through those moments to get to a point where you can actually feel composed as you express yourself, and it feels empowering to do so. So you just start at the beginning from scratch and take the pressure off. It doesn't even have to make sense at the beginning, you know. I run three courses in the year called Soul Resets. And so they're just a way to kind of reset and renew and recharge for the year. And I have one at the start of the year to get ready for the year. I have one in the middle of the year. So we're coming up to one now. It's starting on June the 18th. And actually, we've just done the start of year Soul Reset. And I had to do it a month later because I had crazy problems with the Royal Mail cyber attack. And it just meant my work was just overloading for a good like 6 weeks. But I remember one of the principles is called Get Ugly. And that really is where you should start with journaling. Getting ugly is just the process of emptying yourself, and whatever comes out, comes out. You don't judge it. You don't edit it. Don't try and make it pretty. Don't try and make it make sense. It might just be expletives, you know, through the whole page. You might wake up and it's absolute gobbledygook. You might want to write down a dream that you just had, but you can't remember it. And you just put down the little details that you do remember. The point is that you just empty yourself without judgment. You just write anything. It might be two words, it might be lots of ums and ahs, or it might be a stream of consciousness. Who knows? But the point is that you just let yourself be brutally honest and you say all the things that you might not say in public. Write down all the things that you worry about at night, maybe. But you just literally, you get ugly, you just let it all go, let it all be, and don't judge yourself for it, because there will be some gold in that. You'll find something in that. It might not be in the first thing that you write, or the second, or the third, but there'll be something that is so deeply self-informative that explains something, that kind of makes sense to you, that helps you to understand something, or that just allows you just to be yourself. You know, it might get you crying, it might get you laughing, but it's just so helpful and so beneficial. The point is that you don't judge and you don't try to fit into some kind of box of good writing, good expression, or you know, trying to copy somebody's writing that inspires you. You just write whatever's inside, you don't judge, and also you take the pressure off, meaning that it doesn't have to be amazing. And you don't have to be good at journaling. There is no right or wrong way to do this. You know, you don't journal to get good at it. You journal just to give yourself an opportunity to be whoever you are in this moment without judgment, you know, without critique, without trying to be something else. And the reason why I encourage everyone to do this is because, again, it's about getting through the rubble. So in the book, Power of Mess, what we want to do is we want to, and how we normally deal with the mess is that we'll try to avoid it. You know, we'll bury our head in the sand, we'll pretend it's not there, we'll get distracted or what have you. And actually, it's just about not doing that. It's about, you know, it's turning it all around and actually sitting and acknowledging and being in it. Just go for it. Take the pressure off. Don't judge yourself for whatever you write, and then just leave it as well. I also, you know, encourage people just to leave what they write. But if they leave what they write, they can go back to it at some point and they can check in and they can see how much they have grown, how much their ideas have developed. But it's all because they started at that point. And that's why that point is valuable. It's worthy and it was necessary. And it was a part of the whole picture and the whole journey to a better moment, to a better day, to a brighter day.
Oh, wow. That's so lovely. Thank you. I love doing podcast chats. It's like having a mini therapy session. It's brilliant. And I hope it's been like that for the people that are listening. So I'm hoping that by now they're all thinking, well, I want to crack on with this and I want to get the book and I want to follow. So would you like to tell everybody where they can get the books out on the 8th of June, isn't it? So depending on people are listening in advance of this coming out or whether they're listening afterwards, it'll be out on the 8th of June. But where can they find you and where might they be able to sign up to the workshop that you mentioned? Tell us everywhere they can connect and find you.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Okay, so the book, The Power of Mess, it's launching on the 8th of June, but it is available pre-order now. Yeah. Pre-orders, I've been told from everywhere, are so important. So if you want to pre-order the book now, please do. And it can be pre-ordered on Amazon. It can be pre-ordered on Waterstones. I'm so excited about that. If you're not in the UK, you can order it on Barnes & Noble, on Booktopia and Indigo, I think, right now. So basically all the territories, you can find it. You could actually just write it in the search bar, my loves, and, you know, it's there.
In the Power of Mess, yes.
Amazing. And I'm known as SC Lowry on the book, and that's my pen name. That's normally how I share myself at the beginning. And then I have my soul reset, my mid-year soul reset. These are my babies, and I started doing them 5 years ago now, so this will be my fifth mid-year soul reset. So I've done my 5-year circuit, and I basically have created 10 principles based on self-love and self-care to help recharge, renew, and regather ourselves so that we can feel reconnected with our essence, with our dreams, with our longings, and we get into good habits, you know, and we start looking after ourselves and we check in with our hearts and we express ourselves, we catch up with ourselves in this framework of 30 days together. And you can find the soul reset on my Etsy shop, that's Butterflies and Pebbles. And you can also find it all over my social media. I'm Butterflies and Pebbles on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm not on Twitter. I've chosen to not do that. but yeah, I'm also on Patreon as well. You can find me there for my podcast, for my very small crowd of patrons there. I'm also there too.
Fantastic. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. I wish you all of the best with it. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing everything.
Thank you for listening to Freelance Feels, the podcast for humans who work for themselves. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if you have, you can rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and follow for future episodes. You can find more about Freelance Feels at freelancefeels.com. Freelance Feels also has a monthly newsletter, which you can sign up to at freelancefeels.substack.com. And for daily updates, follow on Instagram and Twitter at freelance_feels.